Let's turn in the scriptures now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 33. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 33. And beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, these are God's words. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And those are God's words. The chapter here begins with the Apostle Paul calling the Corinthians to consider the example of the Jews, which we should all learn from. It should be unto our admonition. That they had many privileges, they were God's covenant people, and yet because of their many sins and rebellion against the Lord, our God punished them. They were His covenant people, as we are His covenant people, and He punished them for their sins and rebellion. And that He really summarized, that can be summarized really there through verse 14. And we're here in those verses called to flee from those sins and to flee from that rebellion to Christ Jesus, who is the rock, and to follow after Him. And there, from there, goes back to then, Paul does, back to the subject of idolatry. Remember, he addressed that in chapter 8, then in chapter 9, last chapter, he was addressing his apostleship, and now addressing rebellion and the need to turn to Christ, and now he returns to the subject of idolatry, and he instructs that, friends, in our worship, we cannot worship idols, but must worship the Lord according to His commandments alone. And in our worship, nothing from idols can influence our worship of the Lord. And so the question, well, what about eating things? This is more applicable in the eating of things in their day, of course. So the question, what about eating things that were sacrificed to idols previously? And from verse 23 to the end of the chapter, Paul shows that you should eat things the Lord made and enjoy them. And those things sacrificed to idols, as not that which was sacrificed to idols or out of any regard for the idol, but at the end of the day, it's just meat and you should enjoy it. But then he instructs us about how to eat these things that were sacrificed to idols, that you find out that they were sacrificed to idols when you're doing so before, whether believers or unbelievers. You can buy the meat, you can eat it with other unbelievers, but if they bring out to you that this was sacrificed to idols, it's something to make it more special in that moment. It has, in that very moment that they bring it up, been made religious in nature, and then you must not eat, lest you dishonor the name of the Lord and the gospel, communicating something to them that idolatry is okay. That idolatry should be encouraged. And so in everything, we should care not to harm or burden any consciences with the gospel and with the true worship of God, or even to cause to stumble those who might be weak in the church. Because he does address those in the church here as well in verse 32. And so again, big picture, it's just meat. You should enjoy what God gives and provides and has created. But a good summary of how to deal with various consciences, we see verse 31 to the end. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And that is good guidance to us in all things. And even here, dealing with food and drink, right? You don't have to eat the food. Don't think you have to have the drink. Be all things to all men, that by all means you might save some. That's Paul's passion. That's what he taught us already in the previous chapter. He teaches that again here. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We're thankful that you teach us your ways, the humility we ought to have before others. Often in our day, there is much pride in the eating of meats or drink, to especially with in this nation, in our American freedoms that we would like to say we have, and yet any freedoms we have are all in Christ your Son and granted by you. And Father, you guide us in these things, whether in worship or outside. You've given us liberty of conscience and freedom to worship you according to your commandments alone, and not to bind our conscience with man-made things. And Father, as it has to do with eating and drinking, you've guided us here that we ought not to be a stumbling block ourselves by eating and drinking to others. That we would not harm their conscience with what we do when it comes to their need to believe the gospel unto salvation. And Father, we do ask for your help in this and give us wisdom in the various circumstances, moments where this passage is applicable. And give us wisdom in those times, discernment. And pray for the church, this congregation, the church throughout the world, that you would sanctify us and make us to be holy, make us to be the people who glorify your name and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to all that we come in contact with. Our Father, we desire to be more zealous for testifying of the good news. Make us to be more zealous, for we are weak in these things. Bless our ministry to others outside the church. Give us opportunities to invite others, and of course you give us countless opportunities, and we often just walk past people and ignore the opportunities. Father, we ask that you would plague us with the need to tell people the good news and to invite people to worship. We're thankful for the example of the disciples early on, when they didn't really even have the words to say. They didn't know what to say, and yet they said, "Well, come and see." And so, Father, give us that at least that much measure of grace to invite people to worship, to see Jesus Christ, your Son. And Father, we do pray that you would keep building us up in knowledge of your Word. For we know that what saves people is not our arguments. It's not our debating. It is the Word of God by the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And so, Father, we pray that you would build your church and grow your church, grow your kingdom, and grow this congregation for your glory alone. Not that we would just become this great large church. We don't want to be a large church, probably. If we were to consider each one here, we don't want to be a large church. We want to be a church planting church. That other churches come forth from this, and that more of the gospel is proclaimed and more people here, all for your glory. And Father, we pray that you would give us that heart and zeal and bring it about, that we would be able to become that. And yet we can see in our current situation that it doesn't seem likely that we could do that or be that for your glory. But we pray that you would work it and bring it about at the right time. And we trust you and trust your plan and your promises to bring all nations to you, and that they will covenant with Christ. And so we have hope in these things, that the gospel goes forward. We learned last Lord's Day that these are the last days, and these days are the perfect time for the elect to come in and for the gospel to be preached. And so may that be true in this congregation. We pray for the children, as we heard of this morning, of how they have a great duty as children to honor your name as well as to sing your praises and declare the power of God, as well to show forth your power in destroying Satan's kingdom. And we're thankful that with what we learned there with Jephthah's daughter and Psalm 8 and Matthew 21 and Mark 10. And we're thankful for our children. We pray that you would use them mightily for the good news and the spread of the good news to all nations. And then, Father, we do pray for their souls, that you would turn them to yourself by your Spirit and make them those converted children who have that childlike faith that all of us need without care, really, of what people might think of us. Our Father, we do pray and ask for your help with Carla. We're thankful she's here this evening and Kendall with her. Pray that you would strengthen her and give her rest in her body. Thankful for the service she has to ladies giving birth, and pray that you would grant success in what she does. So give her strength today and even to be here to worship you tonight and pay attention and focus. Father, we pray for Dina, that you would heal her and strengthen her body. She's weak. No other others here might be weak or struggling in their souls. Father, strengthen them and be with them. Even as we hear your word this evening, that we would hear the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the Selma Church down there in Alabama. We ask that you would grant them peace, knowing your good providence, and even sometimes dark providences come to us, like came to Job. We ask that you would cause them to turn unto you in faith and humility, knowing your power, seeing your power in the tornado that came, and how it can easily destroy that which has stood for over 150 years. We're thankful for that show of power, but we pray that you would also grant them your grace by your Spirit of comfort and provision, and provide for them a new place to worship. Hopefully they were able to worship today, and ask that you would, in all things, your name would be praised, that many perhaps in the community would be able to hear the gospel because of what happened there. Father, we do pray for our preparation for the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day morning, that you would grant success and help us to discern and examine our hearts this week. We know the temptation that will come will be to kind of go about our days normally as we have before and forget to prepare and forget to examine our hearts as we're busy with our daily things. Father, we ask that you would not let the devil get a foothold in those things, but that we would follow your word as we'll hear next Lord's Day in 1 Corinthians 11, and our duty to examine our hearts and our minds and our souls and our faith in you and our repentance before you and our love for you and our neighbor and the charity that we show to others as well. Father, all those things that we are reminded, even in the larger catechism and preparation, larger catechism 171, to how to prepare. Help us do it, Father. We are weak and can do it not apart from your Spirit. We ask that you would bless our day of prayer and fasting on Wednesday, and that you would grant success in that, even as we prayed this morning. Then we pray also and ask for your help with our presbytery, and how we ask that you would be with those, as we pray often for the congregations without ministers. Pray for the congregation in Washington, Iowa, and San Antonio, and Houston, and Colorado Springs, that you provide ministers for them. There has been times in the past where we've prayed for the Colorado Springs Church for a building for them to worship in. We're thankful that this past week they signed the contract on that. And they have their own space now. We give you praise that you've finally answered. And in our minds, finally, but Father, that's probably not trusting in you. And so, Father, we're thankful that you answered the prayer exactly according to as you decreed. And we give you praise for that, the perfect timing. Father, we do pray also that you would watch over us now as we continue in your word. We ask that you would uphold us. Keep us in the faith. Let us not be drawn aside or distracted or tempted to sin, but grant us salvation in Christ your Son, and calm our anxious hearts. As we look to Christ, we desire to see Him and behold Him. And so show us your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.